this is your virtual Peter Kirk here. About 120 years ago, I was pretty involved in this town named Kirkland. Catchy name, don't you think? The year 2005 is the 100th birthday of our fair city's incorporation, and there's quite a lot to talk about. Let's start by having a look at some of our infamous founders. The original settlement was called Pleasant Bay. In the 1850s, the Curtis family homesteaded property in the area down by what you now call Yarrow Bay. In 1883, James Curtis, his wife, and their two sons built a large house. There was a place for travelers to stop. The house would ultimately become Houghton's first post office. The Curtis men made their living building boats for travel on Lake Washington and Lake Sananish. They also helped ferry people back and forth across Lake Washington. In 1872, Harry French sailed a rented boat from Seattle to Yarrow Bay. He built a cabin of shakes and logs across from where the Bayshore apartments now stand. This cabin was to later become the first schoolhouse in the community. This after Harry had moved his family in 1874 to the first frame house in the community. A jolly lot by the looks of it, don't you think? The French family operated freight and ferry boats, and by 1901 were building boats as well. Nearby, the French's homestead, the first Kirkland Church was built. The bell for that church cost $184.50 and was paid for by Sarah J. Houghton, the wife of a Boston philanthropist who was connected to the community through their church in Providence, Rhode Island. The name of the south part of the settlement was changed to Houghton in her honor. The Fishes were another early family. They built and ran the Lake House Hotel for travelers from Seattle in the early 1900s. My personal association with Pleasant Bay began in 1886, when I arrived with the objective of expanding my steel empire into Kirkland. As a Brit, I was unable to buy land myself, so I found a partner in Lee Hunt, who owned the Seattle PI newspaper. Together we bought over 5,000 acres of land and began laying our plans for an iron and steel mill, along with a proper English-style city to house it. Our enterprises were called the Kirkland Land Improvement Company and Moss Bay Iron and Steel Works of America. Among the fine men who accompanied me in this venture were R.H. Collins, my treasurer, who would become the first mayor of Kirkland, John George Collette, my lead engineer, who coined the name Kirkland, platted the city, and named the streets in our English design, and last but not least, my secretary, Walter Williams. Lee Hunt loved the beauty of the East Side and named Yarrow Point and Yarrow Bay after his two favorite Wordsworth poems. He built his home on Yarrow Point and bought Hunt's Point, named for him, to log. Our vision was of a thriving city of 40,000 citizens. The center of town was to be what's now 7th Avenue and Market, where the Peter Kirk Building, Campbell Building, and the Sears Building were built. But our plans and the financial environment began to change. First, the railroad never connected to the iron mines of the North Bend or Snoqualmie, and never reached Kirkland. Meanwhile, both English and American banks began to fail in the crisis of 1893, and the local newspapers printed an exposé calling the steel mill plans a ploy to get rich on land deals. Our dreams failed, and the city was left with acres and acres of partially cleared land. This led to Kirkland's nickname, Stumptown. Meanwhile, up north in Juanita, Dorr and Eliza Forbes traveled from Iowa by way of the Madison Park Landing and settled on Juanita Bay. Dorr had a sizable piece of land with timber and set about establishing a shingle mill. As time passed, Dorr decided to build a kiln to add to the mill. The day it was finished, it caught fire and burned the whole operation to the ground. But Dorr was a scrappy settler and ever able to find work. Dorr's equally scrappy wife, Eliza, found work as the first female justice of the peace in the area in 1887. She had to relinquish her title in 1889 when Washington became a state, since women still had no right to vote. These were some of the people who helped give birth to this beautiful city on the lake. Join me again soon for another historical moment. Virtual Peter Kirk here, signing off for now. Cheerio!